God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon is the gospel reading. The Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus tells the two parables. And also this from our epistle. When St. Paul is teaching Timothy about being a faithful pastor, how to use God's word rightly, St. Paul tells Timothy, "Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully." And so that's part of our lesson, and part of what we struggle with in our lives is learning to hear God's word rightly, and that the law of God is used lawfully. We learn today that God not only welcomes sinners, what the Pharisees said, but then Jesus takes it further with the parables. He shows a God that not only welcomes sinners, but seeks them out. Now, we hear why the Pharisees and scribes were upset. They say, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." But they get it wrong. In fact, Jesus isn't just receiving sinners and eating with them. He's seeking them out. The case is much worse than they first thought. Not only is God hanging out with sinners, but he went after them. He sought them out. He sought them out to give them forgiveness. He seeks you out. He seeks you out even daily to assure you of your forgiveness, to give you, by His Holy Spirit, a righteousness that far supersedes anything you can dream up on your own. God still seeks you out to remind you that He, through His Son Jesus, has fulfilled every command, that He has promised you eternal life, that He is a gracious God, that everything He does now, whether the law comes down on you very heavy and you see your sin, when life goes bad, when it feels as if God is your enemy, God desires you to see that He's doing all for your good, to strengthen your faith, to see Him all the more as a God who never leaves you but seeks you out. Now the Pharisees, they didn't think the law of God was for this purpose. They didn't think the law was meant to lead you to Jesus. They thought the law of God was meant to lead you to yourself, to see how good you are. You see, when the Pharisees, when they read the Ten Commandments, they thought God is showing them how to earn His love and mercy. Do these things, be a good little Christian, and maybe God will love you. They taught and believed that God is waiting first on us to perform, and then, in exchange, He gives us forgiveness. Now, this is not an uncommon idea. In fact, I'd like for you to consider that this is part of the reason why we in our own lives get upset when life doesn't go how we think it should, when others mistreat us, or just in general, because we, by nature, think that God must be punishing us, that we just aren't performing up to His standards. And so he's getting His own on us. Not only that, but if we believe that we are saved, as the Pharisees did, by fulfilling the law, then that's also how we're going to treat other people. That if God only loves us when things are going well, then we too will only love others when they're doing good things for us. But God doesn't just receive the sinners and tax collectors that He's eating with. He seeks them out because He wants to show us we are saved not by us fulfilling the law, but faith that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law on our behalf. that God doesn't just receive you, dear sinner, but he seeks you out. And look at how both parables end. They end with rejoicing. Not just the person who was saved rejoicing, or the coin, or the sheep, but the owner. That God rejoices over you because he's taken away every one of your sins by the blood of Jesus. Now, the Pharisees and the Jewish leadership and the scribes, it wasn't as if they didn't know the Ten Commandments or the law of God. They knew it very well. In fact, that's something we can learn from them, to learn God's word forward and backwards. The problem was they misunderstood it. They misused it. They knew the Ten Commandments, but they thought that the law was meant to teach you how to accomplish righteousness in God's eyes. In fact, they knew the Ten Commandments very well, but in order to show you also too how they pictured the law, they made up more laws to help them not break the Ten Commandments. In fact, in order to not break the second commandment, do you remember what the second commandment is? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. In order to keep the second commandment, they made another law. They said, okay, since we don't want to misuse God's name, let's just make laws that you can't write God's name. In fact, when you write God, you put God-D. So we're not even going to write God's name. In addition to that, they wouldn't even say God's name. They wouldn't pray God's name. This, as Paul is instructing Timothy, is not using the law lawfully. In fact, all throughout the Old Testament, God encourages his people to use his name. God tells Job, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are told that Abraham called on the name of the Lord. God tells us to use his name, but we must use it rightly. To call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. You see, calling upon and using God's name depends on faith. The law of God is not fulfilled by us being good or us somehow avoiding sin, but receiving that God gives us all that we need, that he saves us, and that we receive this righteousness by faith. This is what the commandments are pointing us to. The third commandment about the Sabbath, about murder, adultery, all the law of God is not there to show you how to be righteous, but to show you your sins, to lead you to faith. You see, the Pharisees, they thought if they could had more laws, they would be better. But the law, Paul says, is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient. The law is there for those who think they are good enough. So then why would the Pharisees be angry that Jesus is receiving sinners? Well, it's because they knew that if Jesus received these sinners, then all their efforts, all their goodness, all their laws, everything that they thought was righteous in their own eyes is nothing before God. Now, this is how we feel in life when someone gets things we don't think they deserve. Someone gets a promotion at work while you slave away. Or a family member takes advantage of mom and dad's kindness. Politicians, they get to rise above the law while we in the public get scrutiny for even the smallest infringement. Undeserved. Unworthy. How unfair. This is why Jesus tells the parables to the Pharisees and scribes. He's calling them to repent of thinking that the law is their comfort. that they can find their comfort and salvation before God in pride. And when we begin to think like the Pharisees, this will manifest itself in our own lives. We might not necessarily think people aren't going to go to heaven, but we treat others with contempt. It's so easy to do, especially those that we don't know personally. The politician, the homeless people under the overpasses, celebrities. But just as Jesus calls the Pharisees to repent and consider their own lives and the kindness of God, so does He do to you today. Now, you might be justified in your thinking. Your rebuke of those who take advantage of people, you might be right. There are people who just refuse to repent, who don't get it. They're lazy. They're disobedient. They intentionally take advantage of people. And maybe they take advantage of you. But that doesn't mean God is not calling them to repent. Jesus, He certainly didn't tell the tax collectors and the sinners and the prostitutes who were coming to Him, He didn't tell them, well, just keep living your life as it is. No, He calls us all to reform our lives, to live lives of repentance, to learn God's law so it would show us our sin. Each and every one of us, He calls us to change and to live by faith in the God who not only receives sinners, but He seeks them out to forgive them and to strengthen them to live a life according to His Word. That from faith is then when our lives blossom. Not from the law of God, but when we see how righteous and kind God is to you. The Holy Spirit then gives you that perspective to see others. Not excusing sin, because Christ Jesus didn't excuse sin. He died for it. But to find our righteousness in Christ. Look at the characters in the parable. The main characters in both these parables. The shepherd, he doesn't just sit with his sheep, but he seeks out his lost sheep. The woman who lost the coin, she doesn't just sit back at home, but she seeks out and finds the lost coin. God is a God on the move by His Word and forgiveness. That God seeks out. He seeks out by His Word, and He is seeking you out today. Each time you hear the Word of God, consider how He's showing you how you've sinned. How just this week, you were that lost coin, perhaps. For that's the point of God's law, to show you your sins. And Paul says that when the law is used in this way, it's good. So we don't just fly off the handle when we hear God's commands, especially that list that Paul makes today, the sinner, the ungodly, the unholy. We don't just fly off the hook and say, God, You don't understand my life. Or God, You don't understand the troubles my friend is going through. No, Paul says the law is good. The law of God, the Ten Commandments especially, is meant to show you sin. It's like a bathroom scale. It's a diagnostic tool. The Pharisees thought the law was like a teddy bear or a security blanket, something that brings us security and pride. But Paul says the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient. And that's Paul's point for the young pastor Timothy. There is no one that the law does not apply to. There is no one who is perfectly obedient to God, no lawless. There isn't one person who is not lawless. The law of God is always good.
But when used to bring comfort, it only leads to pride. Now, it's the misuse of God's word, the misuse of a tool. And it reminded me of this story with one of my best friends growing up. My best friend's dad was an avid golfer. He would take us to the driving range, and he would be involved in intense practice of focusing on every swing and every ball. And my buddy and I would get bored, and so we would grab one of his clubs and act as if we could hit golf balls. And I still kind of act that way. But we grabbed his putter one time, and we decided, let's see how far we can drive with a putter. We hit a dozen or so balls, and we were very proud of how far we could hit. Well, the next day, my friend's dad was furious because, well, he was missing putts. And he came and asked us if we were to blame. And of course, we said, oh no, we wouldn't dare misuse a golf club. But we had to come clean. And we had ruined a perfectly good golf club. We had bent the head of the putter so that it was not perfect. And you know, golfers are always looking for every excuse, but nonetheless, we misused the tool and it was no longer good. Paul tells Timothy the law of God can be the same thing. If you misuse it, it can hurt you. The law is to be used rightly to show us our sins, not for us to find others' shortcomings, not for us to pride ourselves. Paul might as well have been preaching on our gospel reading today. The scribes and Pharisees were driving with a putter. They were using a knife as a screwdriver. They were bringing a knife to a gunfight. They were teaching people that the law is where you find comfort. But finding righteousness in how good we are is certain death. And when we live this way, we will not love as God loves. We ourselves will be Pharisees and scribes. And yet look how Jesus is calling them. Look at the character of God and the joy of the gospel. The joy of not having to keep count. The joy that God seeks even you out, not with a putter, not with a knife, but with the cross of Jesus. With the forgiveness of Jesus, that's where you find your righteousness, that He came and used the law perfectly on our behalf. His heavenly Father told Him to go and seek and save, and that's what He did. Jesus Christ came for sinners. Congratulations, you're one of them. And not only did He give His life for you, but He still seeks you out. He desires you to be joined with Him. First, by the waters of baptism, He finds you. He places you on His bloodied shoulders. He carries you here to His house. And here, what do you find? You find other sheep who were lost. When you come here, you find the party. Now a life of faith, trusting in Him, even as you continue to sin, confessing your sins. So that when life is hard, when things don't go how you wish they would, when you sin, you know that He isn't seeking revenge on you. That He is always doing what you need. But this isn't always so you have something to be proud of in the eyes of the world. But that He is strengthening your faith by disciplining you. Perhaps we can see these two parables as a life of a child of God. First, as the lost sheep, we're brought into the church, we're saved, we're brought home. And then the lost coin that's in the house, that we are already in the household of God, but sometimes we're tempted to go into the shadows. Maybe our sins are getting the best of us. We become disheartened, or we become addicted to a sin. But before we're completely lost, He calls us again. Turn from your sin. He finds us. And look how in both instances it results in God rejoicing, angels rejoicing in heaven. That's what we do here together every Sunday. Every time we get together, this is why we sing. We are rejoicing that we have been found, that we are joined together with others who are forgiven sinners. Now we're having a party. And Christ Jesus is the host. And he's joyful that he has found you and that we now live by faith. May that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.